We shall now, and you will find it is not so difficult as it would have been if you had not to preface it with a long talk on the subject. However, we shall go very slowly with every paragraph. In fact, we shall read every paragraph twice, so that if you have any problems, any questions, you have time to ask. I am giving so much time to Plato because, as I told you, without Plato you will not understand the entire thought of the West, the entire history of Western philosophy. If you know Plato quite well, other things become easier to understand the West. So let us now start. The concept of the good is the culmination of Plato's philosophy. There is, according to Plato, a distinction between reality and appearance. The former is the universal and the permanent. The latter, particular and transient. Let us repeat. What is universal and permanent? There are two words I use. There is a distinction between reality and appearance. Now, which one of them is universal and permanent?
Reality.
Good, reality. And what is particular and transient? Appearance. Good. Transient means temporary, that which passes away. Joys and sorrows of human life are transient. What does it mean? Transient means that which is temporary, which passes away. It doesn't remain. The joys and sorrows of human life do not remain. Now you are joyous, now you are sorrowful, again joyous, again sorrowful. It's all transient, passes away. The inner delight is permanent. There is in us a reality which is delightful, permanently. So that is real, real. Our joys and sorrows are appearances. They are transient. The former is the object of true knowledge. What is the meaning of the former and the latter? You know the use of these two terms, the former and the latter. Let us understand. Whenever there are two words written, one after the other, here there are two words written, reality and appearance. These are the two words. Now when you refer to reality, you say it is the former. When you refer to appearance, here it is latter, that is that which comes afterwards. So when it is said the former is the object of true knowledge. That means former refers to good. The former is the object of true knowledge. The latter, the object of either imagination or opinion. Latter means appearance. Good. The former is the object of true knowledge, the latter the object of either is relative and therefore incapable of being known absolutely and therefore truly. That is, you cannot truly understand the world as it is, as it appears to us. Particulars, according to him, possess contradictory qualities. If you take any particular, the same object is beautiful from one point of view, ugly from another point of view. You take the most beautiful object, it depends upon the angle at which you look at it. You look at it from another angle, the same object appears to be not so beautiful. So every particular object has contradictory qualities. That which is cold is from another point of view hot. If it is, supposing you have touched ice in the first place, and then you touch a cool place, it will seem warm, because the first experience of your coolness was that of ice, icy cold. The next one is cool, not so cold. So that which is cool seems to be warm if it is touched after your touch of very cold things. Similarly, that which is warm, what we call warm, is cool depending upon the experience that you had previously. If you have touched very warm thing and then you touch a warm thing, you find it to be cool. So the same object is hot and cold, contradictory, depends upon your previous experience. The same object seems to be pleasant and yet painful depending upon your previous experience. If somebody has lived in a house of a tyrant, where every day there is a kind of slavery and even somebody is beaten up by the tyrant. Now suddenly the slave is transferred to another place where the master is not tyrannical. Then he will find his going to the other one to be heavenly, although the truly heavenly would be quite different depending upon your previous experience. And when you compare the previous experience with the present experience, you find to be somebody to be kind or cruel. You know, the modern children are so much loved by their parents that even a little scolding by a parent, the child feels that the mother or father has done a great injustice to it. Even a slight slap by a parent gives to the child an experience of tremendous cruelty. "Oh, I have been beaten," the child says. This is because modern children do not know how much their parents were beaten up by their parents. And therefore, in comparison, they do not know what it is. A mere scolding, a little scolding, the child feels tremendously hurt. So that mild scolding would be felt very pleasant if you had experienced the kind of treatment which the parents of the modern children had experienced from their parents. I knew, for example, our teachers used to beat us on our hands every day almost. And since we have this experience and now we see the children being treated, we feel the children are so kindly treated, you can't imagine. I remember when I used to make one mistake in writing or dictation, the teacher used to say, "Now hold out your hand." And there would come a cane straight on the hand, and 5 canes for 1 mistake, 10 canes for 2 mistakes, and so on, multiply the mistakes, and then you have multiplication of canes. This was the condition of the school not long ago. But now, if even a light caning would mean tremendous cruelty, which is true actually, I agree with the children of today. There should be no cruelty, no punishment of this kind at all. But you can see what Plato says is that the same thing is good or bad depending upon your previous experience. It is relative. It is contradictory. From one point of view it is kind, from another point it is cruel. Particulars, according to him, possess contradictory qualities. A thing which you might call beautiful has some elements of ugliness too. It is not pure and ideal and unmixed beauty. What is smaller as compared to one thing is bigger as compared to another. The same thing, a person is tall as compared to many others, if the others are comparatively smaller. But the same person is called to be small if there is a comparison with taller people. So the same thing is at once small and tall. It is therefore at once smaller and bigger. It is relative. This word relative is very important. What is relative? Relative is that which changes its quality depending upon the relationship it has with which it is compared, as distinguished from absolute. Absolute is what it remains irrespective of any comparison you make. It is absolute. When you say it is absolutely perfect, it means you compare it with anything, it is perfect. That is absolute. That which remains the same in spite of any comparison, that is absolute. But that which changes its character depending upon the relationship with others, it is relative. Finally, particulars are constantly in the flux and therefore constantly change their nature. They are therefore being, non-being. It's a peculiar word which has been coined by Plato. They are being, non-being. As I told you, things which are in flux, as long as they are seen, they are being. But the next moment they disappear, therefore they become non-being. So they are being, non-being. All things which are in flux are being, non-being. Particulars are, according to Plato, the objects of perceptions. And perception, he contends, is not knowledge. In his dialogue, Theaetetus, he points out that comparison, knowledge of existence, and understanding of number are essential to knowledge, but they cannot be perceived by senses. I had spoken of this last time. We shall repeat this sentence because it is a very important sentence. There is a dialogue which Plato has written. Its title of the dialogue is Theaetetus. You know, Plato has written about 40 dialogues. We had come across two of his dialogues when we were reading Socrates. You might have forgotten the two names, but I shall remind you. One is called Charmides, the other is called Leeches. His theory of virtue is knowledge, where we have discussed two dialogues, Charmides and Leeches. Now similarly, we spoke of Republic. That is also a very big dialogue written by him. And one portion of that dialogue we read yesterday from Plato. Now this is another dialogue he has written. It is called Theaetetus. Now in that dialogue he points out that comparison, knowledge of existence, and understanding of number are essential to knowledge, but they cannot be perceived by senses.